Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before cable became what is now thought to be an almost expected part of American culture, there were some very basic TV channels. You know the ones I'm talking about. The Pharma Five, the Standards, and the alphabet soup of NBC, ABC, CBS, and PBS. When I was growing up, my grandparents would come to visit quite often, and when they did, I could almost always count on them sitting down in my parents' wing chairs and watching the Antiques Roadshow on PBS. For those of you who haven't seen the show or don't know what it is, it's a show that travels around the country and invites people to bring in their old antiques that often seem meaningless and priceless. People are set up at different stations with an appraiser, and their antique is displayed against a rich blue background and tablecloth. For about 5 or 7 minutes, the appraiser will ask the people questions about their relationship to the item. Where did it come from? How long has it been in their family? Have they noticed the intricate detail on this painting or the stamp on the bottom of the vase? After taking some time to engage the anxious antique owner, the appraiser will give some history about the item, and then, bam, they deliver the verdict. Either the piece is worth a sizable sum of money, or its only worth is in its family story. I can't really say that I envy the long day people experience on the Antiques Roadshow. They come in early in the morning, wait all day to go through meeting after meeting so that they could maybe, just maybe, make it to the televised portion where they await to hear if this item in their possession is worth a sizable sum of money. Why do people do this? Why does price matter? Most people have items that have significant familial meaning and sentimental attachments, so why put a price tag on what doesn't need to have one? I'll be the first to admit that I really do enjoy this show, so please don't think I'm trying to speak negatively about it. I just wonder, why is it so necessary to put a price on the worth of our possessions? Today we hear three different parts of biblical texts that come from very different parts of the Bible. We hear from Amos, a prophet from the Old Testament. We hear from Timothy, a Pauline author in the New Testament. We also hear from Luke, the gospel writer and evangelist. Mind you, these texts come from different places and different times, but they are concerned with stumbling blocks that are still very near and dear to us today. Money, power, riches. In the passage from Amos, the prophet condemns and warns Israel of their treatment of the poor and needy in society while they live luxurious lives. The passage from Timothy challenges people to look at how they cling to money instead of God and flat out calls money the root of all kinds of evil. The gospel lesson from Luke highlights the spiritual and social blindness that riches can cause. It's pretty clear that all of these passages don't depict riches in the most positive of lights. However, even though the Bible singles out the troubles of having riches, I don't believe that it condemns them. More than anything, I believe that these passages identify the brokenness that enters into our lives through the means of riches. The culture that we are surrounded by tells us every day that saving money is great. The more you give, the more you get, and that getting ahead is the only way that you can be successful. The relationship that we are told to have with our riches is one that gives us advantage in our economy and over others. It gives us power. It gives us authority. It gives us a foundation upon which we can build our lives. Now, when I was in college, I volunteered at a homeless shelter with a group of people from my campus's InterVarsity chapter. Ministry in the community is something I've been very passionate about, and I found a group of people within my chapter who had that same passion. Every Monday evening, we would meet at the flagpole, go to the local Pick and Save to buy some groceries, and then we would head to the shelter and use the shelter's kitchen to prepare a home-cooked meal for the clients who stayed there. After we served the meal to everyone, we would grab a plate and gather around the tables to eat with someone that we didn't know. In that time, we learned about these people. We learned their names, we found out where they were from, and we talked about God. The people that we got to know, the people that were some of the poorest in the community, they were the ones who seemed to be the richest in their understanding of God. Even though we were the ones who were bringing and serving the food, it was these people who were feeding us with the body and blood of Christ. To hear and experience their faithfulness to Christ in the face of their scarcity spoke gospel into all of our lives. While these people didn't know the riches of the world, they knew the richness of Christ and the depth of God's love. As I said before, money and riches aren't bad. To have money does not mean that you should feel guilty, and it certainly does not mean that you should feel like you don't know the richness of Christ. Jesus came into this world not to condemn it, but to save it. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know God. Coming into human form, Jesus turned the world upside down, and he challenged the way that humanity understood God. God was no longer some celestial being who could only be met in the Jewish tabernacle on several occasions. God became accessible to humanity and opened our eyes to a new understanding and a new depth of relationship with God's self through Jesus Christ. God came in the most humbling and unexpected of ways. A tiny, wrinkly baby boy who was laid in a manger among filthy animals. He grew up as a carpenter's son and eventually became a nomadic teacher who ate and socialized with the lowest of the low, the rejects of society. Jesus loved the world so much that he allowed himself to be put to death for the people who hated him, spat on him, and shouted his name when asked who they wanted to have crucified. Jesus died a murderer's death in the most humiliating form of public execution in the most painful and crude way possible. Jesus' life was not one of glamour or riches. And when he came into this world, he turned our sinful, broken relationship with riches upside down and gave us a new understanding of God. Our blinded eyes have been opened to see the richness of God in the most unexpected and unfathomable places. It's this richness of Christ that penetrates the surface level of worth of something and transforms it, and it gives it depth. It is this very richness that penetrates our broken souls and compels us to come forth to the altar, ultimately bringing us to our knees. Jesus takes you just as you are, brokenness and all. It's through the richness of Christ that the humble, simple gifts of bread and wine are transformed into a feast where all people are welcome. Through Christ's richness, the cross's power has been transformed. Where it was once a symbol of fear and death, the cross now bears the message of promise and everlasting life. This is the richness of God's love and mercy at work. Money and wealth are a very necessary part to our world, and they play a large part in our everyday lives. That's why I think people who are on the Antiques Roadshow, why humanity cares so much about the price of our possessions and wealth. But thank God that Jesus has widened our heart's understanding of riches. It's not about how much we have, but the richness in how we love those around us with what we have received. That doesn't mean to go out and give everything away. It means that you are invited to live generously with whatever gifts that God has given you, be that financially or through other means. There is a richness in Christ's love for all people. And what better way to experience that than living into that love with those around us? Amen.